Hey, hello everybody. Welcome to the Monday, May 2nd meeting of the Verifiable Credentials for Education Task Force. My name is Carrie Lemoy and I am the meeting moderator for today. I'm going to go through some boilerplate items to get us started, and then we will dig into our primary discussion, which is just an overview over what happened at last week's Internet Identity Workshop. Okay, first, just want to make a note about IP, that anyone can participate in these calls, but keep in mind that all substantive contributors to any of this work, work items, they must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreements that are signed. You have to ensure that you have a W3 account and sign that. So I'm going to put a link in the chat where you can join. Okay, and then the W3C Community Contributor License Agreement is also going into the chat right now. Okay, and call notes. These meetings are recorded, and then we also have a robot transcriber that is listening and transcribing what we say. We do this so that we have archives of the meetings for those who miss them or who want to look back and see what was discussed. We cover a lot of important information in these calls, and it's really helpful to have this archive. Note that sometimes the robot transcriber doesn't understand us. It's pretty good. It's getting better. But if you see something in the chat where the robot has gone way off track, you can correct that, which will help us get the minutes out sooner. And you can do that by putting in a substitution, which I will add to the chat right now. So you would type s/ wrong word, and then correction. Just like that, how that is in the chat. So if you follow that, that regular expression, then the script will make those corrections for us, which is very handy. And a time saver, huge time saver. Okay, also note that we use cues on these calls, so that way everyone has a chance to speak. If you'd like to add yourself to the queue, just type Q+, and you'll be added to the queue. And then if you change your mind, you can type Q-, and it will remove you from the queue. When you speak, the moderator, which is me today, would acknowledge that you have the floor, so you know that it's your turn. Okay, let's move on to introductions and reintroductions. Let's first go with introductions. Is there anyone that's new today that would like to introduce themselves?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm new to this group. I had the pleasure of meeting Kerry in IIW last week. And my name is Mahesh Balan. I'm the CEO of Pravichi, and we have a VC product called Pocket Cred. So it's great to meet everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Mahesh. Maybe some week we could schedule you to do a presentation on the call.
Sure. I'd be happy to do it. And also, just a quick note, Kerry, I sent a note to Drummond Reed, and he said he'll be happy to come to this group to present the ACDC for Muggles presentation. He has not posted it yet on the Quico chat, so he's volunteered to do it, so we can invite him sometime.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Drummond has come to this call before, so we'd be happy to have him here. During IIW, we'll go over this later, there was a session called ACDC. I did not have a chance to attend it, but I was told it would be really useful for us, this group, to listen to and learn about. So we wanted to sort of follow up on that a little bit. Thank you. Do we have any other new members joining us today, or anybody who'd like to make a reintroduction or update on something you're working on right now? Okay. Well, if you change your mind, feel free to cue yourself, and then we can get back to you then. So let's move on to announcements and reminders. To note that you can always see what is going on in the CCG group at this URL here. This is where announcements and meetings, regular meetings, are posted. Tomorrow is the regular weekly noon Eastern CCG call, which everyone is invited to attend. Anyone is invited to attend any of the meetings, actually. But you can always check there to see what is going on, and also on the mailing list. And then a couple of VC Edu related updates that I wanted to provide is people have been asking about what is going on, like what is the status of Open Badges 3.0 and CLR V2. And you should know that the release candidates should be ready by early summer, so sometime in June. The release candidate is not final, but it's going to provide the opportunity to start piloting. And for those of you who are new to this, Open Badges 3 and CLR V2 are going to be directly aligned with verifiable credentials. And this is going to be a really interesting new situation for us to pilot. I'm really very excited about it. I know many people have been waiting for it. Also note that in alignment with this, there's some work being done at the Digital Credential Consortium to create an NPM module for Open Badges 3. And so we hope to have more news on that later this month. And that will help out with, like, you know, the pilots and building things out. Okay, great. Okay, the queue is empty. So what I will do is just start that. What we do is I can tell you a little bit about my experiences at the Internet Identity Workshop. And then Dimitri will jump in, and anybody else who was there, you can feel free to queue yourself up. Or if you have any questions also, feel free to queue yourself up. So there were about 250 attendees, and that was pretty great. It was amazing, at least for me, to see people who I haven't seen in a long time, or so many who I never actually met in person. Just because the last couple of years have been so active that it was impossible to go to new conferences, and all these new folks started converging in the space. So it was amazing, and the energy of the space really reflected that. Like, there was just all this excitement, and everybody wanted to talk and explain what they've been working on and show what they've been working on in person, and that was really fantastic. I also felt that it's like really sharing to share a space with people who are working towards this common goal in an environment where there's a lot of open dialogue and questions are fostered. So we really had this environment where we could just talk about anything, and there's no dumb questions, and there are people there with all different levels of experience, some very, very experienced technologists, and some folks who were just very, very new to the space and wanted to understand what was going on. And then made a very unique environment. I think that somewhat kind of models what happens in VC Edu too. And so I really appreciated that. I also learned that there are a lot of people in the identity space that have been keeping an eye on this community. And they're very encouraging of the progress that we've been making. So I want you all to feel really good about that, that this work is really being noticed. And people are paying attention because what we're doing is really challenging. And they're really rooting for us to do well here. Okay, so how it worked was that over 3 days, there were well over, I think, 160-hour-long sessions. And the IAW follows an open space principles methodology, which means that participants are encouraged to move around and find opportunities where they would feel like they would learn the most, be able to share the most. So it's sort of like many conferences where sessions are proposed at the beginning of each day, and then they're scheduled for the day on the wall, literally on the wall in pieces of paper, which was great. And then you could see what was going on, and you could bounce around to whatever session made sense. It also meant there were, like, so many sessions going on at once. I think there was something like 8 sessions at a time every day. So like several times a day. So it was impossible to go to all of them. And I'm still like reading through notes and catching up on all of the things that I missed. Dimitri, I was going to see if you wanted to just sort of do some reflecting on, you know, your experience and sessions that you attended.
Sure. Plus one to everything that you said. I'll mention a couple of things that were takeaways for me that really struck me. One is continued interest from the wider identity community. So not just decentralized identifiers, verifiable credentials, but also the like OpenID Foundation community. So Microsoft and Ping Identity and Yes.com and Okta and a bunch of other similar, right? So a lot of sessions were about OpenID for verifiable representations, PSYOP, which stands for Self-Issued OpenID Connect. And for the first time since the conversation started, we also now have interest from the browser makers, from the Chrome dev team, to add support for decentralized identity wallet mediation into the browser itself. Now, it's actually rolling that out will take changes to the browser, will take changes to the operating system, but I think it's interesting to highlight that the conversation is widening its circles, right? Like, more and more industries and companies are finding out about sort of our corner of the world, and that comes with its usual set of opportunities and threats. But so I'll just say for the moment that browser manufacturers are interested in adding wallet mediation support, which makes our job of building systems working with verifiable credentials much easier. So that part is good. I really enjoyed the verifiable credentials in education panel that you and I hosted. That was fantastic. A lot of people asked good questions about our community, and hopefully we'll see them on these calls. What else?
We had that was a great session, Dimitri.
Yeah.
We had a full room. And we had a lot of great questions about backwards compatibility, but also some like challenging discussions, right, about adoption and use cases.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. One of the things we touched upon in there too, sorry to interrupt more, is we've been sort of like looking into like asking questions about governance and issuer registries. And someone provided an example of GAIN. I took down that link, so I thought that I'd put that in here. Anybody's interested in checking that out? I called that session to do an update in what was going on in the space to let folks know, but also I really am trying to figure out what we could do about issuer registries and governance in this space. So I was trying to like gather information in there. But we actually spent a lot of time talking about use cases, which is interesting because I think that reflects more of what happens outside this community than what we do in here. Even though we've been working on that use cases doc forever, we are also embroiled in our use cases that when new folks come to our space, I think they question what is going on. And so that was an interesting and eye-opening discussion for me for sure.
Absolutely. And I'll add one last thing. I notice Marty is on the call, so I'd love to hear from him as well. Oh, sorry, not on the call, on the queue.
Yes.
Is that there's also a lot more energy from the Web3 community. So we saw a couple of companies and a couple of demos and presentations focusing on basically bridging the blockchain sign-in with Ethereum type of thing with decentralized identifiers and RSSI community. Yeah, like Disco. Oh, and Kalia's here as well, so that'll be great to hear.
Yeah, it'd be great to hear.
Kalia, as usual, you put on a fantastic, you and your colleagues put on a fantastic conference. Marty, go ahead.
Yeah, so just a couple of quick takeaways from the sessions. One, you know, on that point of registries, you know, it's obvious that a lot of folks have really, you know, I think last year's progress versus this year's progress is a 5x. It's people are moving faster, and really building some real things. One of the, real things being built, Glyph, I felt like had a big presence there, and they have really done some really good work around building out this legal entity identity framework. So highly recommend folks take a look at what Glyph is doing. I think they're piloting and some production level, legal entity, identity work there. And then also just what we've done here in VC Edu, I feel like is still very, very forward thinking, in what the actual use cases are, actual deliverable of, you know, how do we transmit, interoperable education records between systems. And I heard a lot of folks talk about interoperability and actually being able to do it. So one of the very interesting things was, Charles Lehner. I don't think he's here, but I said in one of my opening statements, you know, show me your verifiable credential and I'll show you mine. And he had printed, cards with, I believe it was 18 different formats of verifiable credentials, with QR codes and definitions. So it's really cool to see people doing real things, and working on that real interoperability. So those are just a couple of reflections, and great job, Carrie and Dimitri. Your sessions were awesome, and I'm happy to contribute to those.
Thank you, Marty. You know, also, speaking of Charles, those of you may not know him, but I was so happy to meet him, because he has been supporting the infrastructure and really just taking good care of us. Him along with Manu, who I think is also here. And it was so great to meet him. It was just such a pleasure, really.
Kalia, do you want to say a few words? Like, what struck you about the conference?
Sure. Sorry, sure. It was really intense, like people not seeing each other for 2 years added this whole kind of intensity to things. We way oversubscribed sessions relative to rooms on Wednesday. We're definitely looking at renting more space in the museum, which we can, but we didn't. We closed registration at about 250 a week before, and we ended up at 280 anyways because some people had to be let in, and we had 60 plus people on a waiting list, and they all put themselves on the waiting list in that last week. So that was kind of sucky to turn people away, but just didn't have the space, and we didn't know we would need the space because nobody signed up ahead of time, right? So I think it was really great to see like bridgy Web3 companies come. Like the Disco folks were great. Spruce ID was great. There was some, you know, people who were just finding our community, some women who were like from Wyoming, super into NFTs, like, I'm going to NFT me. We were like, you know, of course they ran a session. I don't know how to go. I should go look up the notes, but, you know, I think there are some new, you know, new interesting activity and real progress on, you know, other activity and also communicating, like just people kind of connecting and like bridging some gaps, like building understanding. I think the MD, AMVA was there. There was three AMVA people. It was incredible to have them in the rooms and listening to all of what we were doing. I think there's genuine, sincere interest on the part of folks who are working on the AMVA standards, not the AMVA standards, the MDL standards within ISO to really bridge between their work and our work. I know Andrew Hughes ran a session called What's Your Wish List for the Next Generation of MDL Stuff? And I, as the chair, one of the chairs of the DIF Interop Working Group, are going to invite him to come and lead kind of the same session, but outside of IAW, because you know, obviously only people who made it to his session at that particular time at IAW contributed to that list. So that feels like a really clear process. And, you know, I also watch like people who have done the best inside their countries to try and get engaged with the MDL work and explain that how they were unable to successfully engage. And the MDL folks being like, okay, we're going to figure out how to get you in the working group. Like, so that was heartening. Like they weren't just like, they were really sincerely interested in hearing from us and welcoming participation. I'm happy to, I ran a session on conspiracy theories. I'm really interested in how we as, not just the folks who show up at IAW, but even much broader swath of like folks who work on identity can potentially engage in collaborative work to reduce the conspiracy theory noise by putting out good information. Cause I think it's going to hurt all of us really badly if we don't distinguish that different types of digital identity work differently. They're not one thing.
I like that session because it reinforced really how early it is in this space, but also the responsibility that we have to create, safe technology that's good for humans, but also provide some language and support to increase that understanding. And I kind of felt like when you and I did the, Self-Sovereign Identity 101, the same kind of like feeling came out also with Chris Kelly from DIF. For me, there was this overlapping like, hey, we have language to think about here and context and support that we really need to start considering if we want to see more adoption and better understanding, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Kalia.
Thanks.
If there's nobody else on the queue, I want to add a couple more thoughts that really struck me. Also, speaking of Web3 bridging technologies, can't help but mention our own demo. So I was there with my colleague from HyperConstruct and the XR Foundation. So we're doing a lot of work in the machine learning, augmented reality, and virtual reality space, combining it with verified credentials, decentralized identifiers, and wallets. So we demoed basically a credential handler API, CHAVI for short, web wallet inside a virtual reality environment. So very much a bridging to Web3, both in the NFT and blockchain sense, but also in the virtual, in the metaverse sense, as the jargon goes these days. So that was interesting. But what I wanted to mention was a couple more things. One was it was really great to see that there's a lot of increasing interest in JSON-LD and linked data serialization of verifiable credentials from a wider community. So not just the usual suspects, but also a lot of the like Hyperledger indie folks. So like Sam Curran, for example, hosted a session that's like, all right, what can we do to make JSON-LD credentials less painful to work with as developers? And it filled the room. There's like 20 plus people there from companies not typically working with linked data, and all the suggestions were really good and ones that I've often thought about. We basically boils down to, hey, let's lock down contexts cryptographically. Let's add digests and hash links. And then of course the overwhelming one was, hey, we need more tooling. Specifically for developers, creating JSON-LD contexts for the first time. And I think several of us, like Carrie, I know you've been working on the Open Badges version 3 context, and I've been working on a couple, and that's certainly more tooling in that area would certainly be a welcome sight, of course. Similarly, there's some interesting emerging sort of bridging standards coming out in the area of authorization. So we've got Spruce ID team and a couple of companies in the secure data storage working group, in specifically the task force that was previously Identity Hubs and has now been renamed to Decentralized Web Nodes. So that's Daniel Buckner, his team, and a couple of allied companies. They're using a form of authorization capabilities called UCANs, and there's some of them were proposing a standard that basically bridges ZCAP-LD authorization capabilities for linked data and UCANs into sort of translatable protocol. And I always like to see bridge technologies like that. Do we have any questions from folks here?
While we're gathering up some questions, I have a couple of references that I gathered that I can share. One came out of create a DID in 5 minutes, which is the DID directory. I'm going to put that in the chat. So this is like a very easy way to look up DIDs. In the registry. Very like user friendly, easy to read. So you may appreciate keeping that in your bookmark list. And then the other one is GoDiddy. So GoDiddy is something created to, let me put this here in the chat for you so you can all look at it. Let me talk about it. It's a hosted platform that where you can create, resolve, update, and activate DIDs. And it includes Universal Resolver, Universal Register, and a wallet service so you can manage DIDs and keys, as well as, I guess, a versioning service. So this is something worth checking out, even if you don't use this, to read through your docs to learn more about how DIDs work, because there's a lot of information in the documentation. I haven't tried using this yet, but I'm excited to mess around with it a little bit to see if it can be useful.
Thanks, Carrie. Oh, I just noticed Kimberly is here, and I was wondering, could I put you on the spot? I'm really curious. You're one of the co-chairs of the CCG. Like, what your thoughts were attending IAW, and what takeaways sort of?
Yeah, no, I'm happy to be on the spot. And we're going to do this tomorrow again in sort of the bigger, wider group. And so it's been interesting to sort of hear this discussion and think about sort of what we might, what I might want to bring up, tomorrow. For me, it was a lot of what has been said, but, but the community was really powerful for me. Just the sense of this common dream around identity, and all of, like, I don't think I really understood before I got there how vast a concept that is, from the social and philosophical underpinnings of identity. I went to Kalia's session on her book, around the domains of identity, and that kind of thinking, which I find really powerful, all the way to, you know, very, very technical, and exciting, innovation that's happening around how we can bring these things to life. And so that was really, impactful for me. You know, one of the most impactful things that I went to was, on Wednesday morning, we had a time to just gather as women in this space. And, you know, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, I don't know what the numbers were, but I'd be interested to know what the percentage of women at the conference was. But it's, I think it's growing. It seems like the circle that we had on Wednesday morning was pretty large, but still a minority in the room. And listening to, again, I think the theme for me is this is the varied and multifaceted ways that people are involved in identity. That came out very clearly for me, in that circle. And just the ways that people are doing, are participating was extraordinary. And I think the other things that sort of came out for me was, you know, I've been living in this verifiable credentials and self-sovereign identity world, and I am a believer. But I hadn't really been given the opportunity to sort of hear some of the other side and what, you know, some of the folks that aren't sure about this kind of technology and bringing it into their world. Like that was interesting. And really, again, I think it speaks so positively to the community there that those opinions and ideas can be really reflected in a very collegial way. And so that was sort of my other big takeaway. So I'm hoping Kalia, I see is on the queue now. I'm hoping she's going to chime in with some thoughts about that too.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Kimberly, Kalia.
Yeah. Thanks for mentioning like traditionally, at IAW in person, we've hosted what we just call women's breakfast on Wednesday morning at 8 a.m., like an hour before the conference starts, when everybody's free to come and have breakfast. And, you know, I chatted with Heidi about that afterwards, and it used to be we only had like one of the little tables inside the like in the main space, those kind of rounds that fit like 8 to 10 people. And then we got big enough, we had to go into space F, which is like a bigger conference room with a table. And then of course, because of COVID and we're eating, we like moved it onto the balcony E outside, and it was really packed, and it was the most number of women ever. I think not the only reason, a reason it was larger. It was the most women ever, I believe, at an IAW. And a reason it was larger was Spruce ID specifically hosted a diversity and inclusion, scholarship for the first time. We gave people money to get to IAW. So we flew Milwaukee, who's been a part of the community from Togo. And we also put out the call to the Women in Identity mailing list, and people basically applied to get either a free ticket or free ticket and some money to get there. And I think we had six or seven women come on that scholarship. So that was a really big success in terms of expanding who could be there. I think we're going to try and invite more corporate sponsorship of diversity and inclusion monies so that we can do even more, because we had to turn a few people away because we just didn't have enough money for that. But that's great, and thanks for mentioning my book. I'll put a link to the core domains of identity that are in a PDF, like a 4-page PDF that you can read, and then if you want, you can buy the book. I wrote it as my master's thesis in the identity management and security program at UT Austin. But I think it's really, I wrote it because there wasn't any good material explaining how different domains are. And that if we just keep pulling all of identity into one big blob, we'll never solve it. So I'll stop there. I see there's someone else in the queue.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And similarly, Sharon, do you want to say a few words, like what your takeaways were?
Sure. I'll say something just more on a personal note. I guess I feel like, so it was my first IAW, and I felt like a kid who studied like French for like 4 years in high school and 4 years in college, and finally went to France for the first time. And like, while like I recognized all of the vocabulary words being used, it was a little overwhelming to hear them being used like sequentially in sentences, and also like creatively to string together ideas. So I think that it was definitely like dive into the deep end learning for me, but I think that I really appreciated how patient everyone was, like explaining things to me when I asked a lot of questions. So I would highly recommend it if anyone hasn't gone, to just go for it.
That was great. I kind of felt that way too, even though I probably have dug into it a little bit more. There's just so much more that I was exposed to in person than I just hadn't been ever. Mahesh, may we call on you too, since you were there? That's where we met. You could tell us a little bit about your experience.
Sure. Yeah. And it was also my first IIW to go on site. And it was fabulous experience. I had already done the remote ones a couple of times. And what was interesting for me was just the explosion of how to get verifiable credentials out there in production, right? There are so many approaches. For example, I attended a session wherein, it's not just DITCOM, right? OpenID Connect folks were there all over, and people were trying to get this technology put out in various different ways because of the key issue is adoption. So it was interesting to see new approaches that are really, I mean, these guys had taken, I attended a session, I forget the exact one. I'll try to post it back here. And it was interesting to see that they had taken ACAPI and then modified it so that it can actually do OpenID Connect and, so on and so forth. So it was really eye-opening for me to see the various approaches. And just like I think Dimitri mentioned, I was in another session where the Google guys were there, and they were extremely... Actually, Snow was a person who headed this, and he had talked about the NASCAR problem with wallets. If you have 18 wallets, how do we decide and make it easy for people to actually select it? And the Google person who was there was very keen on understanding the issue and trying to see if there is a way in which they can solve it from a phone perspective and so on. So it was really excellent to see some of these, interactions and the community coming together to really solve these problems. So that was the most amazing thing for me. And of course, one of the best sessions that I attended, which is what I mentioned initially, was ACDC for Muggles. I think it is applicable to this audience, and it would be great to get, Drummond to come here and talk. And I thought it was one of the most amazing sessions that I attended, and actually picked up quite a few things just in that 1 hour. So somebody stood up and said that the conference was worth a $10,000 education kind of a value, and I would endorse that.
Mahesh, I hate to really put you on the spot here, but would you mind just sort of doing a brief overview of that? Just a few sentences to tell us what it was about.
Yeah, so I think, really, I think it would be better if, I don't want to kind of give because it was just my first introduction.
Sure, sure.
I would rather, if I had Drummond's PowerPoint, Kerry, I would be more comfortable so that I don't mess something up. It was my first exposure. So if he posts it and it takes us a while to get Drummond, I'd be happy to walk through his 7 points. So, but I would need to lean on his very nice PowerPoint. So, yeah. Sorry.
No, that's okay. We'll make that happen at some point. Okay. Kalia, you have the floor.
Sure. I thought I could share the new, we have an because we were online for 2 years, for 4 IAWs, we used Kiko Chat as the online forum, like the way we navigated open space. We continued using Kiko this time, not for hosting the sessions. You can see all the sponsors here. These are 183 participants that we had. But when you go in, they actually have each of the agendas is there for each of the days, and you can go there and we put all the notes forms in here. So it's a new way to do notes. We didn't invite people to email them to us, although if you really wanted to, you could. But you can, through this, go and access the Google Doc notes for a particular session. So it's now we have the capacity to do real-time multi-person notes creation. So that's a key, and also folks who went to the conference can see the sessions, and more people can contribute. And all the notes will get moved into the public wiki, which is sort of where the notes live permanently. But this was a great, something that I thought was new and different that was good about, having gone online and come back in person. How do I stop sharing?
Yeah, that worked out really well. Clea, do you have the link to the public archive from the previous sessions handy?
Yeah, iaw.idcommons.net. I'll put the chat in the chat. So that's where you can go and see all of the notes of every previous IAW back to IAW7.
That's awesome. Thank you. I know how much hard work goes into hosting this, and we really do appreciate it. It was a great event. Hopefully you get to make it to the one in November too.
I'll say too, and I think this is really important, is we are considering what special topics we should host, like mini half day, like online virtual IAWs. Like big IAW is still always in person, but these are more like, it would be, we'd be totally down if this community wanted to have like a, identity and education special topic half day, between now and the virtual main IAW, or not the person, the, you know what I mean, the in-person IAW.
That'd be great. Let's see if we can figure that out. You think?
And Kimberly, that's a topic to put forward tomorrow at the main CCG, maybe at the end, which is that we are welcoming ideas for, you know, at minimally two. We did one last year on the business of SSI, and I forget what the other one was. But, you know, up to four or five, even if there was demand and sort of clear subtopic areas that would have a critical mass of, like, you know, 50 people.
Okay. Kimberly, you have the floor?
I was just going to ask Kalia, what was the best way to, like, I will definitely bring that up tomorrow. So what is the best way for people to sort of submit those ideas? Like,
that's a good question. I mean, I think if people name them on the call, we can, like, I'm planning to be there and we can come. And great. I'm happy to put my email in or whatever works for folks to reach out.
And are you for sure that November will be in person again?
Nope, nothing's for sure in COVID. We're gonna have a kind of team meeting probably in early June and sort of assess. I mean, we worked really hard to find date, like the museum is booked, and we worked hard to find dates. We have to make a firm decision 2 months out. It is the week, I think it's the week before American Thanksgiving. I don't know really. I mean, our intention is to be in person. We've booked the museum. So.
Cool, thank you. Does anybody have any questions or other comments about IAW and that topic? Okay. So for the next couple of weeks, we are working on agenda items, and we'll announce them soon. They will probably be related to wallets, I believe, the next 2 weeks. And we just need to sort of check in with folks and make sure they're ready. So we will send out an agenda this Friday. If you have anything you would like to present, if you'd like to be in the agenda for a call, don't hesitate to reach out. And also know that we are working on the use cases document, and also working towards updating the recommendations documents so that we can sort of get in time with the open badges and CLR V2 releases. So lots of great stuff coming up. Lots of topics to cover in the next few months. Dimitri and Simone, do you have anything else to add before we sign off?
No, except that I hope that one of those topic soon will be verifiable credentials display for wallets proposal.
Yes. Me too. Let's do that. Okay, everybody. Well, let's end a little bit early today then. Hope you all have a great week. Thanks for joining us.